Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renaissance Global Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jenny Rose from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Renaissance Global's Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Hitesh Shah, Managing Director of the company. We would like to begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier. I now like to invite Mr. Sumit to make his opening remarks. Over to you, Sumit.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for joining us on our earnings conference call for Q2 and H1 24. I'd like to begin the call by providing you with a quick overview of the company's operational and business highlights for the period under review. After that, Hitesh will take you through the financial performance, following which we'll open the forum for question and answer session. Our financial performance this quarter reflects the persistent challenges posed by the external demand landscape. However, within this tough environment, we have witnessed healthy growth in our direct-to-consumer business, which further cements the role as an essential driver of our company's progress. Our primary strategic focus remains on our branded business, where we have engaged in strategic partnerships with renowned global brands through a licensing model. We have an expansive portfolio of both owned and licensed brands in this vertical that we are growing through our B2B and direct-to-consumer channels. The contribution from our branded business has made remarkable strides, surging from a modest 2% in FY18 to an impressive 26% in H1 24. Looking ahead, our ambitious long-term objective is to expand our branded jewelry business by more than threefold within the next 3 to 4 years. Within our branded offerings, we are particularly excited about our direct-to-consumer segment. This vertical delivered a healthy 23% year-over-year growth in Q2 and an impressive 29% year-over-year growth in H1 24. Our estimates indicate that we are on our way to achieving an annual revenue run rate of approximately 312 crores in FY24. As we are on the verge of transforming from a generic business to a house of brands, the margins in the direct-to-consumer and overall branded business are poised to improve in the coming quarters on the back of internal efficiencies and the improvement in Iraswa store-level profitability. Talking about Iraswa Fine Jewelry, we are delighted to announce its increased offline footprint with a new store in Borivali, Mumbai, building on the accomplishments of its Mumbai, Hyderabad and Ahmedabad locations. This luxury and lifestyle store, the second of its kind in Mumbai, is meticulously designed to cater to the discerning needs of the city's shoppers. It exudes a warm and sophisticated ambiance, providing a distinctive customer-centric shopping experience that encourages interaction and familiarity. With the festive season on the horizon, we anticipate a strong start to the store. Iraswa's enduring vision encompasses an expansive nationwide brand presence through a comprehensive omnichannel strategy, offering a diverse array of fine jewelry from everyday pieces to standout accessories for special occasions. In conclusion, while we recognize the near-term challenges, we remain extremely bullish on the long-term potential of our branded business. Our collaborations with iconic global brands, alongside the cultivation of our own distinguished brands focused on lab-grown diamonds, highlight our team's ability to connect with the next generation of jewelry enthusiasts and build a sustainable business model. Overall, our strong partnerships with renowned brands, extensive product innovation expertise, exceptional design talent and a robust distribution network will remain the driving force behind our growth journey. I'd now like to hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh to discuss our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Sumit. Good afternoon, everyone. Renaissance delivered a stable performance driven by steady demand in our branded jewelry segment and an encouraging contribution from our direct-to-consumer business during the first half of this year. While our total income during the quarter stood at rupees 443 crores compared to rupees 442 crores in Q2 of FY23, and for H1 of FY24, our total income came in at rupees 919 crores as compared to rupees 1016 crores in H1 of FY23. On the profitability front, EBITDA came in at rupees 32 crores in Q2 of FY24, and for H1 of FY24, it stood at rupees 68 crores, translating into EBITDA margins of 7.2 and 7.4% respectively. The branded jewelry business reported an EBITDA margin of 11.2%, and the D2C business registered a 12.1% EBITDA margins in Q2 of FY24. In Q2 of FY24, our profit after tax stood at rupees 10.5 crores versus rupees 15.5 crores in the corresponding period last year. While for H1 of FY24, the PAT is rupees 24.7 crores against rupees 39.8 crores in H1 of FY23. Our direct-to-consumer business is a high EBITDA margin business, typically in the range of 18 to 20%. With a growing share of direct-to-consumer revenues to total revenues and increased store-level profitability in Iraswa, Renaissance is confident of its EBITDA margins showing an improving trend going forward. Moving on to our segmental performance, in Q2 and H1 of FY24, the revenue of studded jewelry stood at 86% of total sales. Of the total studded jewelry revenues in Q2 of FY24, branded jewelry business contributed 29% and the contribution for H1 of FY24 of branded jewelry was 31%. In Q2 of FY24, the B2B segment contributed 51% to studded branded jewelry, while the direct-to-consumer segment contributed a healthy 49%. During Q2 of FY24, the D2C business posted revenues of rupees 53.8 crores compared to rupees 43.9 crores in Q2 of FY23, which is a growth of 23%. For H1 of FY24, the D2C business revenue was up by 29% to rupees 109.1 crores. Further, based on a projection of a quarter's contribution to annual sales, the annual revenue rate of the D2C business is at rupees 311.8 crores in FY24 versus the actual FY23 revenues of rupees 239 crores. Lastly, in terms of our balance sheet, our net debt to equity ratio stood at a healthy 0.29 as on September 23 as against 0.41 in September 22. Our net debt stands at rupees 317 crores as on 30th September 23, as compared to rupees 381 crores in the same period last year. We have a healthy cash position with our cash and bank balances and current investments standing at rupees 205 crores. Overall, we are one of the leading industry players with a solid balance sheet profile. On that note, I would now request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Lala from iAlpha Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Thanks, Amit and Hitesh, for your remarks. You know, as you mentioned in your remarks that the business is in a transformation phase from generic to a kind of branded portfolio, and in the short term, kind of the returns have not been very clear. Can you maybe paint us a picture from, let's say, a five-year perspective on how this branded business can look and what kind of return profile we can expect? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for your question, Amit. As we've been indicating over the past couple of years, we're in this transition phase of transforming our company from a generic supplier to a branded player with a direct to consumer as well as business to business distribution. And currently there is two businesses within our branded space with Clarity as well as Iraswa, which are Iraswa is not yet profitable at company level, and with Clarity has lower margins because we only acquired it a year ago. Historically we had 15% margins for this segment, 15 to 18% margins for the branded segment, and our goal would be to grow margins again back to those levels, as well as increase our business substantially. I think that we fully expect a large majority of our business to be the branded business in a 3 to 4 year time frame. So I think we're very optimistic that there will be a significant margin expansion on the branded side, as well as significant revenue growth.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jagdish from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to ask a question. I had a question regarding us versus competition. How do we differentiate ourselves from the peer group who are also selling to the US retailers and the jewelry stores?
Yep. Thank you. So I think the fundamental difference is that I think a lot of our peers are not attempting to build a branded offering and build their own brands. I think that the competition is really focused on selling generic product to large retailers. I think that building a brand does require some initial investments, due to which our margins currently are on the lower side. But we strongly believe that this is a right strategy long term to really build value for our shareholders over time.
Thank you so much. All the very best and happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Trishisha from Blue Lotus Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, hi. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sumit. I wanted to know, you have added a new slide which shows the mix of lab-grown diamonds and natural diamonds, and the mix has been 50% for B2C, and it has been increasing compared to Q2. So can you just give some idea about how this mix, you are forecasting and the margins improvement, which can be, we can receive from this lab-grown increment in your revenue mix?
Sure. So I think, as you see, I think, we've even in Q2 versus Q1, the contribution from lab-grown diamonds has increased meaningfully, and we believe that this number will continue to go up. It's very hard to project, where this number will stabilize. So I think that, we clearly remain focused on, developing both natural as well as lab-grown diamonds. I think depending on, you know, the brand and what the customer segment requires. But I think over time, lab diamonds will become a, you know, much bigger percentage of our overall business as compared to the 13% that we are at today.
Okay. Can you state any kind of margin difference? Like, there has been a lot of volatility in the lab-grown diamond prices also. So, you know, what kind of volatility and price pressure are you facing in this lab-grown diamond?
So, you know, on you know, a large part of our lab business is on the direct-to-consumer side, where we follow a zero inventory model. You know, we run a marketplace where, you know, producers of lab-grown diamonds list their inventory, and then, you know, once the customer places an order, we actually end up buying the stone and supplying it. So we're not taking any inventory position or very minimal inventory position on the direct-to-consumer side, which is a large majority of our lab-grown business. On the B2B side, it's, you know, about 5% or so. So, you know, I would say that you know, we're trying to sort of be cautious, because there has been significant declines in the valuation, in value of lab-grown diamonds, and you know, we've sort of been immune to it because we've not taken a significant inventory position in lab-grown diamonds. I mean, in general, the, you know, gross margins are higher, but it obviously does come with a downside risk of you know, lower inventory prices as well. So we've tried to stay cautious on the lab-grown diamond space in terms of holding inventory, so that, you know, our balance sheet is not impacted by any depreciation in the prices of lab-grown diamonds.
So does that mean there is a lot of changes in your cost per ticket size? I mean, since 50% in D2C comes from the lab-grown diamond inventory, so opposed to the changes in the prices of lab-grown diamonds, has there been a huge change in your, I mean, per unit cost to customer? I mean, has been it...
What we've noticed is, you know, generally the consumers of engagement rings, which is primarily where lab-grown diamonds are used, generally come with a budget in mind. And over the last 18 months or so that we've been operating, you know, this D2C platform, we've seen stability in the average order value. The customer usually will upgrade and buy a better diamond instead of spending less money. So we've seen that, you know, our average order value has stayed constant at about $2,500 to $2,600. However, the customer is getting more value for money as they are, as the prices of lab-grown diamonds have gone down, and people are upgrading to a 1.5-carat stone or a 2-carat stone instead of a 1-carat stone that they were earlier buying.
Okay, and lastly, I just wanted to know about the new Eresa store opening. Can you just give some idea about the new store, like what plans are with respect to Eresa post the new Borivali launch, and about Borivali store, you can just share some.
Yeah, so we have plans to, in the next 3 months or so, to open one more store in Bombay, in Bandra. Currently, the store is, you know, in the fit-out phase. I think post that, you know, we're kind of formulating our plans for the next financial year. But we're very encouraged with the store-level unit economics of Eresa, and we feel that it's the right decision to continue to build on it. I mean, we were initially quite cautious, but I think that the, you know, unit-level economics now are at a point where it makes sense to grow the brand meaningfully. We'll sort of come back with more concrete plans probably on the next earnings call, but we definitely encourage now to grow it. You know, having said that, you know, Eresa, as it becomes a larger part of our direct-to-consumer business, is a drag currently on margins, because, you know, while the store-level economics are positive, at company level, it's still a minor loss. So, you know, as it becomes a bigger number, the margins will look a little bit lower. But I think it's the right decision for the long term to grow it, because, you know, India is a huge potential market, and we feel like we've created a differentiated offering that the consumer has loved, and we're very encouraged with the sales trends at Eresa.
All right. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you please highlight what is the impact of U.S. rate hikes on your present demand dynamics?
Sure. So I think that there is... I think more than the rate hikes, I think since it's a U.S. consumer who's buying, I think they've been impacted more by the higher inflation trends. I think that, you know, usually in a high inflation environment, discretionary spends are what are cut. So if one looks at spends in various discretionary categories, I think that most of them are down. So, you know, while the U.S. consumer is relatively healthy and still spending more money compared to last year, a lot of that money is going towards essentials. So, our view is that, you know, demand has definitely got impacted a bit due to inflation. While inflation has moderated, we've seen normalization in sales trends. So I think a lot of the impact has happened over the last 12 months. And we're seeing now, after three quarters, our revenues have kind of become flat year over year, and we fully expect these to turn positive in the next two quarters. So I think a lot of the impact that we felt due to inflation is now behind us, and we expect to see a positive revenue momentum going forward.
So we are saying this peak December quarter might not be that great, but maybe in FY25 we can expect some pickup, is it?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, as we stated in at the end of Q1, you know, we should see normalization in Q2, which we've seen in terms of revenue trends. I think that Q3 should be flat to mildly positive, and Q4 should definitely be significantly positive. So I would say that the revenue trends should become progressively better every quarter going forward.
Okay. And about your new brand additions, we had done a few new brands in jewelry.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kumar, you're sounding too feeble. We can't hear you clearly. Could you come to
on the branded jewelry? Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, it's a little unclear. If you could speak a little louder, that'd be great.
Okay. On the branded jewelry side, we got a few new brands like Netflix last year. Can you share some update on this?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we're gradually monetizing various brands which are at different states of development. So we recently launched Marvel, Star Wars and Disney Jewels under a consolidated brand called Wonder Fine Jewelry at JCPenney, and the feedback has been incredibly positive. We also expanded NFL at other retailers, and, you know, we're very encouraged with the sales trends with NFL as well. So I think that among the stronger brands, I would say that the Disney portfolio of brands, the princess brands, the iconic Disney characters, Star Wars, Marvel, all continue to do really well. Hallmark does exceedingly well, and so is NFL showing encouraging signs. I think that Netflix did not quite work out as we had planned, and it's kind of not turned into a meaningful business. But the newer brands that have done well have been Marvel, Star Wars, and the NFL. And I think that these new brands should sort of contribute to the revenue growth going forward.
Okay. And on the Erasmus side...
I'm sorry, Mr. Kumar, we can't hear you.
On the Erasmus side, can you just let us know if we have any plans of opening another store on the Erasmus side? And what is the kind of growth that we can expect on that side?
Yeah, so I think that we're currently at four stores. We plan to open a fourth, fifth store in Q4 of the current financial year. And, you know, we are currently finalizing sort of capital allocation and budgeting for the next financial year. We will definitely continue to open Eraswa stores going forward, since we are very happy with the unit level economics for Eraswa. We have not finalized how many more stores we will be opening in the next financial year, but there is one more location which has been signed up in Mumbai, which will open in Q4 of the current financial year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jaggi from Sandler Cheese Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm a shareholder in your company. Just one basic question. Your stock basically seems to be very undervalued compared to, you know, a lot of its peers. And of course, today the consolidated numbers took a toll on the stock. Just wanted to know one thing. Any plans of a buyback?
You know, we will have to probably discuss it in the next board meeting, but I think that, you know, currently we have not discussed a buyback at all, given the fact that interest rates are significantly higher and, you know, we still have about 300 crores of net debt. I think the first goal would be to kind of, one, reduce net debt and also put in plans for capital allocation towards growth of Eraswa as well as our direct-to-consumer business in the U.S. So I would say that for the next 12 months or so, it's obviously up to the board to decide, but I think that the priorities for capital allocation, you know, while you're seeing that we've been generating consistently over 100 crores of free cash flow over the last 4 years or so, so FY20 to 23, I think over the last 4 years, we've generated over 500 crores of free cash flow, which we've used to do some acquisitions and pay down debt by a significant quantum. I think that, you know, the plan of reducing debt further and, you know, also allocating some capital towards growth probably would be higher uses of capital.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah. We've lost the line for Mr. Shah. A reminder again to all the participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in our conference call today. Look forward to talking to you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.